I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 6, 1 Samuel 6, verse 10. We'll start with verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 10. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. How much time I got? Now, Brother Willis said it now. So if I get in trouble tonight, he said I got all the time I need. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 10, powerful passage of Scripture. I've made reference to it in preaching about the Ark of the Covenant, and I don't want to preach about the Ark of the Covenant tonight or teach about the Ark of the Covenant. I don't want to teach about the tabernacle, even though I will allude here and there to some of the points of the tabernacle. But really, I want to talk about basically what I talked about last Wednesday night was a harvest of souls. How many of you believe that we can have a harvest of souls? Amen? That we can have. The Bible says Jesus said the harvest is ready. It's ready. And we can have that harvest of souls. Amen. We pray a lot of times for the preacher, and I pray for you all as well, that God would give us souls for our labor, souls for our hire. And if we're willing to work for that, then God will give us a harvest of souls. Amen. But tonight I want to deal with a harvest of glory. How many of you understand the same principle applies when we're talking about souls that we're talking about glory? I don't know about anybody else, but I'm tired of coming to church and just having service. And just having a regular service, an ordinary service, I want to see some glory. I'm like Moses. I'm sorry. I'm stupid. I'm just like Moses, okay? In the fact that I cannot go unless the Lord goes with me. Unless His glory precedes me, I don't want to go. Amen. So let's look at this in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 10. If you have it, can you say amen? And the men did so and took two milk kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer which with the mice of gold and the images of their emrods. Now, please don't ask me to explain what that looked like. But it was gross, I can tell you that much. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were what? Reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Now, you've got to understand, if I don't set this, and I don't preach enough in it that you ought to know, but if I don't set this precedent, everything else is missing. The ark of God is symbolic of the presence of God. It is symbolic of the glory of God. It is where the Shekinah glory of God rested above that. In fact, he says, I want you to build an ark. I want you to make a mercy seat. I want you to put the blood there. And there I will meet with you. I'm going to meet with you where the blood is applied. That's where I'm going to be. Every time you have a need, that's where I'm going to meet you, is where the blood is applied. How many of you are thankful that God is on His throne? The Bible says that the Lord is in His holy temple, that all the earth be silent. He's on His throne. He's on His throne, and He's alive and well. A harvest, a harvest, a harvest of glory. Heavenly Father, we pray one more time, God, and we just come to You, Lord, and we seek Your presence, Almighty God, and we pray that You will just help us teach this, oh God, tonight. And Father God, to teach with love, but yet with authority. God, to teach with grace, and yet, Lord God, with conviction, oh God. Father God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that You would help us tonight. Night, God. Do, Lord God, what You have called us to do. God, we give You glory right now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the house said, amen. Amen. Now, I'm just using this text as a springboard tonight. I'm using it just simply, and I'll refer back to it a couple of times throughout the message, but I'm really just using it as a springboard. You remember the story? The Philistines have the Ark of God. They get tired of the Ark of God because they can't do anything with it. A sinner can't do anything with the glory of God. I cut it off. A sinner can't do anything with the glory of God except for either repent or keep on running. Amen. And so that's what they're doing. They keep on running, and finally they said, we've got to get rid of this thing. We've got to get rid of the glory of God. So they sit in on a milk cart, or not on a milk cart, but on the ox with the kine pulling it, the cows pulling it, and they're going, they send it away to Beth Shemesh. And the understanding was that if the kine, the animals, could pull the cart and go to Beth Shemesh without anybody guiding it, then surely everything that God has placed on us has been from God. But if they can't find their way, how many of you understand they found their way? And that everything the Philistines got, and I can't go into all that, but everything the Philistines got coming to them, they got it. Amen. The Lord will deal with you. You're either in it or you're out of it. Amen. But watch this. A harvest of glory. Here are the three main points that we're talking about tonight. That the fact of the matter is that the harvest, there is a harvest ready. There is a harvest ready. Bless God, we are living in the days of grace. We're living in the last days. We're living under Pentecostal power. We are able to have Pentecostal power. There is a harvest ready. How do we receive this harvest? And then lastly, how do we keep this harvest? Now see, that's what it looked like when I was growing up. That's what it looked like when I was growing up. And this is what Jesus says. These are the words of Jesus. He says, the fields are white already to harvest. They're white. This is what I think of every time I look at that passage of Scripture. They're white already to harvest. Now I could take my time and preach on the cotton field. I could preach on the cotton field because I could tell you how they picked the cotton and how they had to pluck it out of the ground just the way the Lord snatched me out of sin and He snatched me out of darkness and He snatched me out of hell. I could also continue to tell you about the bowl of the cotton and how inside the bowl there was a seed, and that seed, before you could use the cotton, it had to be removed. It had to be pulled out. This is sanctification, because before you can be used of God, something has to happen. Sin nature has to go. I can also tell you how they went down and took it and processed it so it could be meat for the master's use. That there is a harvest already, and there's a harvest of souls. There again, this is John's Gospel, chapter 4. There's a harvest of souls. There's a harvest of sanctification. There's a harvest of glory in Pentecost. There's a harvest of the gifts of the Spirit. How many of you understand? We don't experience the gifts of the Spirit. But there's a harvest for us. There is a harvest. There is a harvest of glory and Pentecost, which is what I want to get to. There is a harvest that we can receive. We can live in the power of Pentecost. We can live in the power and the glory. Because can I tell you, when you get some people on fire for God, when you really get some people on fire for God, can I tell you that when you get some people, they'll start praying more and start seeking God more, and they'll go out and witness more, and they'll share the gospel more. And when you get people on fire for the glory of Pentecost and with the power of Pentecost, then you'll see a harvest of souls, because folks will begin to pray in and seek and go out and go to the highways and the byways and win the lost. But Jesus says the harvest is already. Some folk act like they're still waiting on the Holy Ghost to come down, but He's already here. The harvest is already ready. We've got to understand that. Watch this. Anybody recognize that? Please, nobody say that's Harker's Island, all right? But this is Ezekiel chapter 37. And the truth of the matter is that it could be Harker's Island. And it could be any kind of church. Because here's the promise of God. Here's the thing of what God looks at. Ezekiel, all he sees and looks at is a harvest full of dead bones. And the question is, that is there a harvest in this field? Is there a harvest even in the midst of dead bones? Even is there a harvest in the midst of something that looks like it's dead and decaying and dying and gone? Can I put it to you whether God put it to Ezekiel? Son of man, can these bones live? Lord, only You know. Son of man, can they? I've been working with it for 2 years, Brother Anthony. Son of man, can these bones live? Can I tell you, I thank God that you're not going to live because I'm here. And you're not going to live because Brother Anthony's here. And you're not going to live because of Brother Willis being here. But bless God, you'll live when the breath of the Spirit of the living God gets inside of your life. And watch what happens. Of course, you know how it is. He prophesied to the bones, and the bones began to pull together. And I wish I could have done all that, but I didn't have time because I barely have time to do what I need to do now. But all the bones pulled together and everything like that. And then they still stood up and they didn't have any life in them. Whew. They were alive, but they had no life. They were standing, but they had no life. They came to church, but they had no life. They read their Bibles, but they had no life. They were holy, but they had no life. Everything that they had, but yet they missed one thing. And it's just as relative to us that are here right now, but it is to a sinner. Because a sinner, they've got to have the breath of life breathed into them. And this is what he said, and I prophesied to them, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up. And it was an exceeding great army that they lived and stood up. They moved. So you can tell when something's alive when it moves. When it don't move, take it out with Otis. He said it. I like Otis. He helps me out sometimes. He'll say what needs to be said. Watch this. Leonard Ravenhill, you don't know him, but I don't know him either, but he's a preacher from London. He recorded that years ago, a minister put a sign on the outside of the church. You want to know what? By the way, did anybody recognize the church? Okay. He put a sign on the outside of the church. This is what the sign said. This church will have either a revival or a funeral. Now, he put that on the sign. I'm tempted to put it on our sign. But can I tell you tonight, that's the way it ought to be. We ought to have a revival, or we ought to bury the thing and go on. Because, bless God, I'm tired of living without the power of the Holy Ghost. And I think that ought to be the decree upon every church sign and every church is that we'll either have a revival or we're going to have a funeral. I can't see the sense in a church when all it wants to do is be in existence just so it can have a cemetery in the back plot somewhere and bury the dead when they've got dead on the inside of the church. Can I tell you, we need to have revival. Revival. We need to have a move of God's Spirit in our lives. We need to have that. It might make somebody nervous. I guess we better not put it on this line. If Brother Anthony does it, then I'm going to let him go on with it. But we need to either have a revival or we need to bury the thing. Amen. Anybody know who that is? That weren't yesterday. How do we receive a harvest? I really got it just for the garden, okay? But I had to throw it in there because of Ashley. All right? In case you didn't recognize her, there she is again. And there she is now. I'm sorry, I had to do that. I just had to do that. How do we receive a harvest? How do we receive the harvest of glory? Now, I will tell you, the picture on the left that has been doctored up to try to make me look thinner. Gail, the picture on the right, that's him right there. That's him. Now, Brother Craig, this will be more relative to you right here. You recognize that right there? That's that Troy-built killer that I was talking about that you've got to take. But suppose, now you see him, we took the picture with him just with the one hand. How many of you know that after a while that thing got older and you had to work it with both hands? Hello? Watch this. Because the ground must be killed in order to receive a harvest of glory or a harvest of souls. The ground has to be tilled. It has to be tilled. Now, this is the way they do it nowadays. A harvest, it has to be, the ground has to be tilled. Watch this. It's done through prayer. If you don't pray, If you don't seek God, can I tell you, you might as well forget about a harvest. If you can't find enough time to pray and to seek God, you might as well completely forget. Now, prayer is confession. It's coming to the Lord and saying, I'm sorry. It's petition. It's bringing my knees before God. It's intercession. Get off yourself and pray for somebody else. And God told Ezekiel, I looked for one to stand in the gap. And I could not find one. That I looked for somebody that would stand and bridge in the gap, but I could not find one. But can I tell you tonight, we need to be that one who will stand in the gap. We need more intercessors in this church. You need to break out, and I'll talk about it in a little while, but you need to break out of a spirit of fear. And who's looking at you? And who's talking about you? And who thinks you're crazy? I'm Pentecostal and I'm crazy and I'm glad to be both. I'm glad to be Pentecostal. I'm glad to be under the power and the unction of God. There are days I couldn't make it through unless the Lord. And David said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would have fainted. I'd have died. Watch this. Praise. The ground is tilled and prepared for the glory of God when we praise Him. Now, I preached on praise Sunday night, so I'm just going to touch on it right now. And that is, it is jubilant worship. It's jubilant rejoicing. It's a holler every now and then. It's a shout every now and then. Well, that hollering and that shouting and that praising and all that kind of, it don't really do anything, Valerie. You do know that, right? It really doesn't do anything. That praise, it really can't carry you anywhere. But I want you to write down Acts chapter 16, because I read in the Bible somewhere in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas got locked up in prison. They got locked up in prison. And the Bible says, it doesn't say that, I guarantee you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that when they got locked up in prison, all they were just a whining and complaining and a moaning and a groaning and saying, honey, ain't I mama, ain't I bad off and everything else. Can I tell you? No, the book said in Acts chapter 16 that they began at midnight, they began to pray and to praise the Lord, to sing songs of praises. And the walls began to shake and the walls began to fall down. And the doors of the gates were open. Don't tell me that praise won't stir up something in heaven. I know that it will. It won't get you out of everything. But can I tell you, praise will do one of two things. It'll either get you out of some mess, or it'll keep you while you're going through. There have been times I've gone through some fire. God hadn't taken me out. But I remember the last time that it brought me through. And I said, Lord, I know it may be a little while, but I know eventually you brought me through. That it's done through prayer, it's done through praise, and then it's done through worship. B. E. Underwood said, it all begins with awe. It all begins with awe. Now, I touched on this, and I'm going to touch on it again. And that is, when you come into the house of God, we ought to come, not please don't misunderstand me, we're not to come sad staff again. But we're to come with a sense of awe. I got a story to tell. When we were doing the prayer conference Friday night, before the prayer conference started, and it was humorous to me, because before the prayer conference started, Sister Gail, that Friday night, people were coming in and it was getting filled up pretty well. And people were jabbering and talking and everything else. And I just simply got up behind the pulpit and said, it's a few minutes until it's time to start. Let's spend some time in prayer. And that's about what it was. There was a hush. And it was like you had killed their motor. Because when they were talking with each other, they were fine. But when you asked them to talk to God, it's like they didn't know what and this was a prayer conference. I mean, the least thing you could have done was ask him to pray. I mean, it was prayer conference. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Those of you that weren't in prayer conference was wonderful. But that was just a little side note there. But can I tell you, there is a worship where there is an intimacy with God. The Bible talks about in Psalms 95, 6, "Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our great God." Worship is not like praise. Worship is that intimate, alone time where you get up with Jesus. And really, the beauty of it is you sit at in the Father's lap. You sit in the Father's lap. You know, have you ever done that? When Ashley, now a lot of times when Ashley gets sick or gets hurt, she'll go to Mama. But every now and then, every now and then, she will come to me. In fact, the best thing about having a youngin is not asking, "Do you love me?" The best thing about having a youngin is when they come to you, and every now and then Ashley say, "Daddy, I love you." Now that does something to that old man right here. I mean, it just, "Daddy, I love you." I mean, just out of the blue, "Daddy, I love you." You know, but every now and then when she's going through something or whatever is in her little world, she'll crawl up on my leg or on my knee or whatever, and I can hug the pain away and love the pain away. How many of you understand you got a Father in heaven that when you worship Him, that's exactly, well, I don't know if anybody's ever gone through anything. Maybe you haven't gone through hell like I've gone through a little bit of hell, but maybe if you've ever gone through something, you understand what it would mean when we sit in the Father's lap and all the Father does is Jimmy puts his arm around you and says, "Honey, it's going to be all right." That's all that it matters. In the midst of what, that's what worship is. It is an intimate time with God. But it tills the ground. Prayer. And in fact, I have a whole list of verses that I wanted to share, but I figured I didn't have time to share them. But I could point you to occasion after occasion and time after time and over again where the Bible says, "And Abraham prayed and God healed." He tilled the ground. Killed the ground. Elisha is off and the woman gets him and says, "My son is dead." Elisha, and watch this, Elisha comes into the room and shuts the door behind everybody. You tell, every now and then you got to shut the door on the enemy and shut the door on people. That's why sometimes when I ask for people to come up, I want spirit-filled people to come up, because every I need some spirit-filled people to pray. You got to shut the door. I mean, there's so many occasions. There was a woman whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, and the story is beautiful there. But the thing of it is, she came to Jesus, and the Bible says she came and she worshipped Him and cried out, "Lord, help me." Now that ain't a Pentecostal prayer, because a Pentecostal prayer, we would have took 5 minutes to say what we needed to say. But can I tell you, every now and then when we fall at the Master's feet, we need to say, "Lord, help me." It don't matter what we're going through and what kind of difficulty we have in our lives. When we come to God in worship, it is that intimate time. It's an intimate time. The ground must be tilled. Let me give you A.W. Tozer there again. You probably don't know him. Whatever happened to worship is out of the book. He says, "A survey of church history will prove that it was those who were the yearning worshipers who also became the great workers." Whew. Those who worshipped, worked. Those who didn't worship, you didn't find them doing a whole lot. He says, "I wish that we might get back to worship again. Then when people come into the church, they will instantly sense that they have come among holy people, God's people, and they can testify that God is in this place." That's what I want to get to, is when we come into this place and we worship God, that the sinner will know that God is in this place. He won't do it when we're backbiting. He won't do it when we're murmuring and complaining. He won't do it when we're grumbling. He won't do it when we're judging. But when we come into this place and we come in an attitude and a mindset of worship, then the sinner will know that God is in this place. You might recognize him. He's B.E. Underwood. He was the former bishop, superintendent, general superintendent. Jesus said this, we must worship in what? In spirit. I know the rest of us worship in truth. And I know that we can't have worship without truth. I know we can't have worship without the Bible. But Jesus said, first, we must worship in spirit. In other words, there ought to be some life. Spirit in the Greek Testament, in the Greek New Testament is pneuma. It's, in the Old Testament is ruach. It means breath. It means wind. It means something that you can feel. I'm sorry. And listen, I've even preached it myself every now and then. That there's a lot of times you can't go by feeling, but you got to go by faith. But every now and then, this is still a feel religion. Thank God you can feel it. And you can feel when the breeze blows. I can't see it, Brother Anthony, but I can definitely tell when he's been there. He says the Holy Spirit is our supernatural helper in worship. Those who are filled with the Spirit enter into a new dimension of worship called magnifying God. That we come to a point and a place in our worship where we magnify God and something breaks loose. I related it Sunday night when I talked about the fact that every now and then when you see me back off from the pulpit and God is moving around and people are beginning to shout and to praise and to glorify God. God, that's the killer of worship, moving in the service. It is sad to me. And thank God we don't do it in our church bulletins. But I have seen church bulletins. I have printed some church bulletins where hymn number one is Amazing Grace. And hymn number two is I Shall Not Be Moved. And we're going to have a prayer and then we're going to have altar and the preacher's going to preach, and we're going to have altar service, and then we're going home. Hello? I thank God, but and I thank God all we've got in our bulletin is the fact that we come to worship God, and we come to hear the word of truth, and I can't remember what else we've got in our bulletin, but can I tell you, we don't even have to have a bulletin. And we follow the program. I'm not saying we don't have to have a bulletin. I'm saying that we got it down pat so much that we come in. And I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else. For y'all start throwing stones at me, I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else is. And it's because we come in and we come to church. Brother Anthony does his Sunday school preliminaries. And we come, we sing a song, we go to Sunday school, we have Sunday school. You know, people used to shout even before Sunday school took place. In fact, I've been in some churches where the shouting took place in the Sunday school. It took place in the Sunday school. They would have meeting in the Sunday school class. I mean, amen. You know, watch this. And we come and we come out and then we do the birthdays and we do the anniversaries and then we turn it over to me or to Brother Mike and we sing a song and we say a few words and if the Spirit don't get in it, we just keep on going. We sing a couple of courses. We do a hymn. I mean, do you follow what I'm saying? We do a hymn and then there's a special. The choir does a special. Somebody else does a special. Somebody else does a special. I mean, you know, and then finally, you know, the preacher gets to preach and then we have altar call, and then we go home. Where is the Spirit? We've got it. That's what I meant by we don't need a bulletin, or we don't have to have a bulletin. It's because we've already got it mapped out in our lives. Did anybody ever bother to come to serve? And please don't misunderstand the tone that I'm using. I'm just. Teaching and talking, okay? But did anybody ever bother to come to service and say, I hope that God gets into the service today. I hope that God has His way in the service today. I thank God for seeing family and friends, but I didn't come to see family and friends. I thank God. I get to see my friend Shirley, and I get to see my friend Almeida, and I get to see all of my other friends. But I didn't. My intention was not to come and see you, but because I would still have service if I didn't see you. In fact, somebody was nervous because my car went out there because Kim dropped me off ahead of time. And they were nervous because they were wondering if we were going to have church tonight because my car wasn't out there. I said, wait a minute. You can't have service without the preacher? You ain't got enough God in you to have service? I'm sorry. When I'm at you might as well just go ahead and throw me out now. When I'm at home, I can have service and church all by I ain't gonna call you up and have church or to do a holy dance or to worship God. Bless God, I can have service all by myself because it's me and God. Look, Brother Craig, I want you to pay attention to those hands right there. Those are Watford hands. You see that stuff right there? That's called dirt. Yeah. I'm just saying, there's dirt on my hands. Amen. Number two, a seed must be planted. The ground's got to be tilled, and the seed must be planted. Watch this very quickly. Let me tell you what the seed is. So what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. You can't feed your faith on your emotions, your feelings, or nothing else. It's got to come through the Word. The reason you don't have faith is because you're not in the book. This is why a lot of churches don't have any life. It's because the preacher is not preaching the Word, and there's no faith being put out. Jesus said it this way, and these signs shall follow them. We understand what the meaning of follow is, don't we? It means that I don't chase it. It follows me. Them that believe. Hold on to your horses, because I'll probably take that verse and play around with it Sunday night or so, if the Lord allows me to. But he says, he goes on to say, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall touch the sick and they be healed. They shall pray for them and they be healed. I ain't going to touch a snake, but he did say, you can pick up the snake and it won't harm you. Can I tell you, the signs and wonders should follow them that believe. But we need to believe. Number three, effort must be put as a sickle for you, you fisher people. It's a sickle. That's the old-fashioned way, where they would take the sickle and the wheat, and they would harvest it, and they would take it and crop it and pull it in. It was work. Effort had to be put into it. Well, why aren't we seeing a revival? Did you bother to pray? Did you bother to worship? Did you bother? It amazes me sometimes how loud we can pray in the church. And I can imagine if we'd have prayed that way before we got here, we might have saw some breakthrough. Hello? If we'd come to church prayed up and seeking the face of God and calling out His name, we would see a breakthrough. The preacher wouldn't have to preach you happy. And the singers wouldn't have to sing you happy. If you'd have come prayed up, effort must be put forth. Watch this. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore he shall beg in the harvest. Let me tell you something. Whether you realize it or not, there's going to be some cold seasons to come in your life. There are going to be some cold seasons. If you don't know what I'm talking about, live a little bit. There's going to be some trials and some adversities. And if you don't do some plowing and some seeking the face of God and some praying and some worshiping God and some seeking after Him, the Bible talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and all of us and all these other things. I don't think it's just talking about materialistic things. I think it's talking about when I'm in that cold season of my life and yet I have prayed. The Bible talks about Daniel and how Daniel, they had given a decree. You can't pray, Daniel. But watch what the book says. Daniel prayed as he did a four times. He had already been praying. Watch this. He says, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. He that sleepeth in the harvest causeth shame. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14 says this, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake thou that sleepest. It is amazing to me, even in a Pentecostal holiness church with the presence of God and shouting and glorifying God, that there are still people that are asleep to the power of God. They're asleep to the presence of God and they have no kind of consciousness. Can I make the same cry as what Paul does? Awake! I gotta tell you, this is supposedly a picture of Jesus' transfiguration. The first time, I never noticed this portion of verse. I had studied the transfiguration, but I had never, it's just one of those things, you just never pay attention to it until finally the Lord needs it, you to pay attention to it. But I was reading the text and I went back through. And of all of the most important scenes in the Bible. The transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most important scenes. I mean, when you put the transfiguration is right up there with the resurrection and with his death and with his ascension. I mean, the transfiguration is something that when Peter, James, and John saw it, they shouldn't have forgotten. But how many of you understand, oh, while all of this was going on, you go back and read it. It's in Luke's Gospel chapter 9, I believe. You go back and read it. And it says that they were asleep. That they were asleep. That at some point in time, in the midst of the transfiguration and the glory of God was taking place, they had fallen asleep. Is it possible? Y'all getting too quiet on you, making me nervous. Is it possible that we can be in the midst of the presence of God and still be asleep? That God can be doing all of this and we're still asleep. Oh, we've got our eyes open, but we're still asleep. But here's the beauty of it. Luke's Gospel chapter 9, verse 32. And when they awake, when they were awake, they saw His glory. My God in heaven. The Bible says in Romans, for now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is your salvation closer than when you first believed. I'll cry it again. Wake up! Wake up and see the glory of God Almighty. God is wanting to do something in this service and in your life. It's time to wake up! It's time to wake up. And when they awoke, they saw His glory. How do we keep a harvest of glory? And I know I'm wasting. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Now, let me get back to the text. I told you I was going to get back to the text eventually. In verse 13, it says that when the kine, the cows, were pulling the Ark of the Covenant, and they were pulling it, and they looked up, the Bible does not say that they saw the mice of gold. And it doesn't say that they saw the pictures of the emeralds, roughly translated hemorrhoids. They didn't notice the thing. What they noticed was the Ark of Glory. That in the midst of what we do to keep the harvest of glory, we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Too many of us look at our ails and our woes and our pains and our neighbors and our problems and our situations, and we don't know, and we'll scratch our head. Well, I don't know if this church is going to make it or not. I don't know if, I know I've done it before myself. I don't know if we're going to make it or not. I don't know if we're going to, I'm looking at Brother Willis and I don't know if he's going to make it or not. Can I tell you, get your eyes off a man and look for the glory of God. Every time I look, listen, I love you all. But when I look only at this church, I see defeat. But when I look at this church through the eyes of the glory of Christ, every time, Brother Anthony, every time I see victory, I see victory. And that's the way I'm looking at every single one of you. I'm looking through the eyes of Christ. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Then rejoice. Be thankful. Worship God. Praise Him. Yeah, it said it in verse 13 as well. When they saw, and I started to bring a cart, and I started to bring my ark, because I was going to have it pulled out here, and then we were going to do some rejoicing. Because when they saw the ark, they rejoiced. They didn't just say, oh, this is just another service. Oh, this is just another thing. Oh, this is, oh, well, this is just another thing that we're doing. Brother Pastor is just going to preach again. I mean, you know, this is, no, they rejoiced! When they saw the presence of the living God. You would too when you hadn't seen it in years and years and years. In fact, some of you would probably do a cartwheel and run an aisle and dance a little bit when you see the glory of God. The presence of the Almighty God. They rejoice. And if you ain't seen the presence of God in a while, and you hadn't felt His touch in a while, why don't you dig back through the history of your life and remember the last time He brought you out. And worship on that. There's a few shouts that I've done a few years ago that I'm still thinking about. And I'm still, there's a few sermons every now and then I pull out the tape to them and still get a blessing off of them. And I was the one that preached them a few years ago. Can I tell you, you ought to remember what happened. Recognize, thirdly, the enemies of the harvest. I'm going to go deep, okay? I'm going to dig in the ground a little bit. Number one is fear. Fear is an enemy of the harvest. Fear in the harvest of souls is the fact that I'm too afraid to talk to you, so I don't witness to you. But we've got to get over the spirit of fear, because we haven't been given the spirit of fear. We've been given the spirit of love and of adoption. You may not recognize this man, but I recognize him. His name is N.J. Holmes. He's the founder of Holmes Bible College. I want you to watch what he says, and I'm going to try not to quote that whole thing, okay? But if you can read it, you can read it. But the gist of it is, because they were accusing him of fanatic, you know, every Pentecostal, they were accusing him of going the deep end. You know, we've been called holy rollers. And we've been called fanatics and crazies before. But can I tell you, this is what he said. He talks about the fact that we should not even hesitate in our Pentecostal experience. We shouldn't stop obeying God in our Pentecostal because we're afraid of the counterfeits. I mean, bless God, at least if I see a counterfeit, I know there's a real one out there somewhere. My God in heaven, if I see a fake spirit and a fake tongue, at least I know there's a real genuine out there somewhere. And we'll get in our little high and holy. I don't want to get in the flesh. I don't want to get in the flesh. You were born in the flesh, you'll die in the flesh. You were born in the flesh and you'll die in the flesh. I know what you're saying. I don't want to get worldly. I don't want to do anything of myself. But can I tell you, too many times that has hindered people from obeying God. It has hindered people from obeying God. Well, I don't want to raise my hand, because if I raise my hand, it might start jerking over and doing all kinds of things. I don't want to stand up, because if I stand up, I might fall out. I don't want to move around too much, because if I move around, I might get actually happy and start running the aisles. My God in heaven. Don't let it stop you and be afraid. My God, Jesus, God, I'm not just talking about these experience and feel good things. I'm talking about the manifestation of the Spirit of God. And the worst thing is, we'll look at TV people and we'll look at the 700 Club, and well, they do that thing called the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and all that kind of stuff. And I don't really want to get into that, because they look a little flaky up there doing it. Hello? We get our eyes on people. But how many of you understand there is a real word of knowledge and a real word of wisdom and real tongues and interpretation of tongues and real faith and real healing and real the gifts of the Spirit are real. Probably after the Passover, Lord willing, if I ain't thrown out yet, I may teach a little bit on that. Brother Craig, you recognize that? You ever have any of those in your garden? Roots. Man, Mount Olive, if I had me a garden, man, I could plow and everything like that. And there'd be some roots. That way. If you ever hit a root with a tiller, you know it, because the thing pops on you. Roots. The enemy of the harvest of glory is a root. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is my definition of what a root is. In a garden, a root is a hard-to-move object that prides itself on the tenure it has in the ground over the new life you're trying to plant. In a garden, that's what a root is, because I have pulled on some old tree roots, and they have, I mean, you know, and they'll fight you on it. Amen. They'll fight you on it, and try. You should keep trying to pull on that thing, and it won't move, Brother Anthony. It won't move out of the way. It prides itself because it's stuck. Now, it's just like a tree that's planted by the water. It shall not be moved. Do whatever you want to with it. What do you do with a hard to move root? in a garden, I'll tell you what I've done many times. When I had my garden in Mount Olive, I had to work around it. Too many times. We'll get our mind, there again, we'll get our minds on people. And we'll say, what are they saying about us? And what are they talking about us? And what are they doing to us? And what are they going to say about this? And what are they going to say about that? No, what you need to do is work around. I'm going to shout if nobody wants me to shout. This is why I don't get invited a whole lot to a whole lot of Baptist churches or Methodist churches or some Pentecostal church. This is why I don't get invited to a whole lot of independent churches, because I'm going to shout whether you want me to shout or not. Amen. Because, help me, Lord. Because you can't dictate to me the way I praise and worship, because you don't understand the hell that He brought me out of. And when He brought me out of that hell, He set me on a rock, a solid rock, a foundation. And if you don't want Him, I'll take all I can get from God. You don't want Him, you're sending my way. If you don't want the blessings of God, you send them my way. If you don't want the anointing of God, I can use every bit of help I can. You send it my way, because I want the power of God in my life. Jesus said it. If you want to get upset, take issue with Him. Jesus said this. Every now and then, in the garden that I had in Mount Olive. See, I miss my garden. Somebody's got to give me some land. Because every now and then, in the garden that I had, if the root was off to the side, it didn't bother me a whole lot. You know, I could work around that. But sometimes the root was smack dab in the middle of my garden. And every now and then, you've got to take out an old axe and chop the root out. Now listen, I'm not telling you to do that, but what I am saying is, if we are not careful and we want to be roots, and I'm talking about myself just as well, if I want to stay in the way and I want to be a stubborn root, can I tell you, the Lord can take us out. Where's my pointer? Where's my clicker at? Well, bless the Lord. Oh, there it is. The last thing. Anybody know what that is? That's that thing, the first clip I showed you of cotton. That's called a boll weevil. Now, this is simplistic. This ain't going to get me in any trouble. Because these pests and insects and bugs, they are outside attacks of Satan. What do you do with outside attacks of Satan? You begin to raise your defenses. If the enemy is coming against your household, you know what you do? You start praying. Brother Rice, every now and then, and I'm not telling you, because I know we've got reservations about how we talk in tongues and all this kind of other stuff, but it would be good for you that if you got to work up to it, it would be good for you, if the enemy is trying to attack you, to work up to talking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. If you got to work up to do it, I would advise working up to do it. But can I tell you that, bless God, you need to raise your defenses. Watch this in Ephesians 7. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. We don't fight against flesh and blood. I'm not fighting against you. You're not fighting against me, I hope. You're not fighting against me, and I'm not fighting against you. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against Satan himself. And watch here. The Bible says to put on the whole armor of God and stand therefore. And when you've done everything else, keep standing. And to put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on and hold up. Take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the last thing, my God in heaven, the feet, the shoes that are the gospel, of the preparation of the gospel. But the last thing, my God in heaven, is to pray with all supplication in the Spirit. And I think I left out the belt of truth, but you get what I'm saying. We need to raise our defenses. Well, the devil's been on my back. Throw him off. See, right there would have been a hand clap of praise. Would have been really good. Right there. He's been on my back. Throw him off. If I read the book the way you're supposed to read the book, and it says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, then you got every bit of right. You got every bit of right and authority to throw the old buzzard off your back. If he's been on your trail, change courses on him for a little while. If he's been telling you, change over in a new lane. Get in the spirit. You've got the power and the authority of God. What's the point? What's the point? Here's the point. It is to reap a harvest of glory, whereby we live in the fullness of the blessings, of the Pentecostal blessings and anointing, so that we grow. I don't know about anybody else, but I want Harvest on Pentecostal Church to grow. I know that there may be some folk that don't believe in ministering to young people. But we got a class right now down the hallway called Royal Rangers. And eventually we're going to get one called Missionettes. And my God in heaven, if you don't think that God is doing something in their lives, you go down there and see and look a little while. And we just got it started. God is doing something in their lives. We got a ministry called Children's Church. Some of you may not even know it. We've got a ministry called Children's Church. My God, how do you think you're going to get them in? You can get them in through the young people and get them into the children. My God in heaven, if the old folk won't do it, we got ministries. Bless God. I thank God. 2008, it started off a little rocky, Brother Anthony. But 2008, bless God, it's come. I mean, we've got men's ministries now. We've got ministry to men. Bless God. Before this year is over with, we hope to have a whole lot more. My God in heaven, we've got a revival in July and a revival in October. At some point in time, I'm going to D.C. I'm going to shout a little while up in D.C. as well. But we got some revival and some things going on right here at Harker's Island. My God, God is doing something here in Harker's Island. It is to walk in the liberty and the authority of the Holy Ghost. I close with this. In the temple, there was a veil. When Christ died on the cross. Now understand that before Christ died, only the high priest could go beyond the veil. He was the only one privileged enough to get that close to the glory of God. But when Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent. I just came by tonight. It might be the only night I come by, but I just came by tonight to let somebody know the veil has been torn and you can get into the glory of God. You can go through in the presence of God. There's some things you might have to go through and some difficult, there might be some roots we might need to go through and to pull out. But bless God, Harker's Island Pinnacle, don't you ever think this church is going to die. My God in heaven, as long as the power of the Holy Ghost and the Shekinah glory of God, stand to your feet in this house and worship God. Give God a clap of praise in this place and worship Him like you lost your mind, but you fell in love with Him. My God in heaven, He's real, He's real, He's real. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the word tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want you to find your way to this altar tonight. Oh, I want you to find your way to this altar. And let's worship God for a little bit so we can till up the ground and reap a harvest of glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you don't want Him, send Him to me. If you don't want His presence, send Him to me. If you don't need the Holy Ghost of heaven, send Him up here to me. If you don't need a move of God, let it come to me. Oh, my God in heaven, we need a move of His power and His glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Fill her, oh God, with a heart's desire. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Cast out that fear. Cast out that doubt. Cast out that confusion. Cast it out right now. And receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God, the same God that wrought miracles in the old, wrought miracles in the new. The same God that wrought miracles in the new can work miracles right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get your mind off the fear. Get your mind off the roots. Get your mind off the worry and the confusion and the past. Take up the shield of faith. Oh, shout when nobody else will shout. Worship when nobody else will worship. When they say you ought not be worshiping, you worship God anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost.